Thank you, Floyd. All right, well, let's pray again. What do you say? Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you that our relationship with you doesn't depend upon our strength or our ability or our performance. God, help us to recognize the places where we've trusted ourselves more than we've trusted you. Lord, teach us what it means to remain in Christ and to depend completely on your grace. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, we haven't done a series in a while, so why not? The series, as you can see, are things Jesus never said. We've all probably said the things that we're going to go over the next, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks, depending on how long we want to take this bad boy. But we've all probably said something, right? And they all sound like super biblical, right? Super spiritual, like, oh man, totally. Like everything happens for a reason, right? Follow your heart. You don't even can't wait till that one. I mean, scripture. You know what the scripture says about your heart, and we'll dig into that one later. God won't give you more than you can handle. I love this one. I just love it because he totally does. He gives you way more than you can handle. God just wants you to be happy. Just be a good person. And of course, one of the more famous ones is the title of today's message, right? God helps those who help themselves, right? So as you're going to see throughout this series, none of this is in Scripture. And none of the things that we're going to go over are things that Jesus said. Nothing. And perhaps if nothing else, when you're helping somebody going through a difficult time or, you know, a struggle, whatever it is, you'll be able to use the appropriate context for maybe some of these sayings and use them what actually is the biblical meaning behind all of these things. But, you know, all these things do sound biblical, right? They sound, you know, almost even scriptural. But Jesus never said them. And really, the Bible doesn't say it. The Bible doesn't say this stuff. You know, when we understand the gospel, we discover that this phrase, like specifically today's phrase, God helps those who help themselves, doesn't just really miss the point. In a lot of ways, it completely reverses the point. Completely makes you go 180 in a not a good way. You know, the gospel says that we were so helpless that God came down into the hole after us, right? That we were so helpless. We desperately, this is your notes, we desperately need God because there are things we simply cannot accomplish on our own, right? We just can't do it. And Jesus makes this very clear in John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1, go all the way to verse 8. It should be familiar with you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So Jesus really uses a very simple illustration, a vine branches and fruit, right? Very simple. And if you really understand these three things, then you can kind of get a gist of the Christian life, right? So Jesus identifies himself as the vine, his Father is the gardener, and we are the branches, right? It's in your notes. And then he gives the statement in verse 5 that completely defies everything. The philosophy of God only helps those who help themselves. Take a look at John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Because why? Because you can do nothing without me. You can do nothing without me. So if God only helps those who help themselves, how can that happen if we can do nothing without him? Right? That particular verse right there paints the picture that it is impossible to do anything without him. He's not saying you can only do less or maybe do something a little less efficient. No, he's saying you can do absolutely, positively, unequivocally nothing without me. Nothing without me. Our culture says something different. Our culture will say, well, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Jesus says what? Remain in me. Remain in me. Our culture will say you have everything you need inside yourself. And Jesus says your life comes from the vine. In other words, your life comes from him. Culture might say you can do anything if you work hard enough. Jesus says apart from me, you can do nothing. And this doesn't mean that effort is unimportant, right? We still have to put forth an effort. Scripture talks about this. But biblical effort is not independence from God. Biblical effort flows from dependence upon God, right? It flows from dependence on him. And that is a very big difference. You know, imagine walking outside. You know, there's like an apple tree or whatever. And there's a branch laying on the ground, right? It's completely separated from the tree, and it's just laying there. And you pick it up, and you just start saying, you know, hey, come on, produce some apples. I know you can do it. Produce some apples. It's like, oh, doing nothing. Okay, maybe you need a song. Maybe you need a motivational speech. Maybe you need to listen to a podcast. Maybe you need to post something on social media or whatever, right? And you still, oh man, still nothing. You're still producing absolutely nothing. And like, why is this thing not doing what, you know, the culture is telling us that we can do all of these things if we just rely on ourselves? Why will this branch not produce anything? It's not because it lacks motivation, it's because it is severed from the source of life. It's severed from the thing that will help it produce the fruit, right? It doesn't have the source of life coming into it, therefore it cannot produce any fruit. And then the branch dries out and withers away, because it is no longer part of the source. And Jesus says all the time in John 15, remain in me. Right? We need to remain attached to the vine. You know, Christian life isn't primarily about trying harder. It's about remaining closer. Right? Remaining closer to Jesus, remaining closer in this relationship that we have with him. And then the truth really gets a lot clearer when we look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read them all right here. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air and the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So Paul doesn't describe humanity as spiritually inconvenienced. He doesn't say we're struggling spiritually. He doesn't say that we just needed a little encouragement. He says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead people don't help themselves. Right? Dead people can't help themselves. Dead people are incapable of helping themselves. Because why? Because they're dead. Right? This relationship that we have with Jesus, when we are attached to this vine, we are able to do what he's calling us to do. Then they say, meet us halfway. Right? Meet us halfway, and you know, we'll just meet in the middle, things will be good. Anybody ever said, oh, just meet me halfway, maybe in a negotiation or something like that, right? Just come on, meet me halfway. No, we want to meet Jesus. We want Jesus to meet us where we're at. We don't want to have to try to better ourselves so we can, you know, earn his love or earn his grace or earn his saving. No, Jesus will meet us where we're at, right? We just need to continue to be connected to the vine. And Paul really paints that picture. Our spiritual condition wasn't that I need a little assistance. It was, I need a resurrection. I need a resurrection. And then very two awesome and beautiful words in Scripture says, but God. But God. We were dead, but God. We were separated, but God. God. We were enslaved to sin, but God. We couldn't save ourselves, but God. But God could, but God did. And Ephesians 2 teaches us that salvation is by grace through faith and not from anything that we have done or we could do to earn this, right? It was a free gift. And that's why grace is so amazing. If we could save ourselves, grace would be unnecessary, right? We wouldn't need it. If we could do all these things, if we just could do it, right? Then why would we need grace? Why would we need all these things that God gives us so freely? If we could fix ourselves, then what's the point of this cross? Right? If we could do all the things, fix all the wrongs, whatever, then what is the point of the cross? Bless you. There's enough self-improvement, maybe we can make us righteous, right? Jesus would have never had to die. We could save ourselves. Right? But no, we couldn't. We couldn't do that. Romans 5 makes it even more explicit. It says Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person. Though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now you notice, when Jesus died for us, it wasn't when we were all put together. It wasn't when things were okay, not after we cleaned ourselves up and we, you know, apologized for all the things that we've done wrong. No, he died when we were still sinners. When we were still sinners. And he says that that one really, when you look at it in the context of today's message, that one just absolutely clobbers the myth that God helps those who help themselves. Because there's one word, and that is helpless. Helpless. He didn't look at humanity and say, you seem to be making good progress. I'll go ahead and step in now. Right? No, he didn't say that. He's, you're helpless. He came because we couldn't rescue ourselves. Romans 5:8 reminds us that God demonstrated his love even when we were still sinners. That's grace. That is grace. He doesn't say, fix yourself and then come to me. He says, come to me because you can't fix yourself. You can't fix yourself, so come to me. So if God helps those who help themselves, but we can't fix ourselves, then God only helps those who help themselves is not what Jesus said. That's like saying we'll just become God ourselves. And if we can do all of these things, then that would make us the living God. And that is not even remotely possible, because there is one living God, right? Jesus invites broken people to come to him. And he's not waiting for us to finish to meet us there, right? He's meeting us at the starting line. He's meeting us at the starting line, and he's going to continue to run or walk or whatever it is with us so we can continue to be what connected to the vine through and through everything. So where does our help come from? In Psalm 121, I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So the psalmist asks, where does my help come from? And the answer is that, man, I'm just going to really dig deep inside myself and get that help. Not from positive thinking, you know, not from any of those things. Comes from, this is what it says, from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So the help comes from the one who has created everything. The one who has created everything. You know, when we say we don't know how we're going to get through this because it's just so challenging and so difficult, you've got to know that God is not intimidated. He is not intimidated. We say, I don't have enough strength to deal with this, right? Whatever this is, an illness, a situation, a circumstance, finances, whatever it is, you've got to know that God is not surprised. You say, I can't fix this. We might actually be getting closer to where we need to be, right? To more reliance on God. When we finally recognize that we can't do this on our own, we have got to tap into the source, right? Into the vine. Sometimes the most spiritual sentence you can say is, God, I can't do this without you. I can't do this without you. And that's not weakness of faith. That is the beginning of faith. That is the beginning of faith. You know, a lot of times we might look at Philippians 4:13, and, you know, I mean, it's everywhere, right? It's on coffee mugs, it's on posters, it's on, you know, little stationery, whatever. But it often pulls in the opposite direction. Let's take a look at it. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Right? It sounds awesome. Sounds super awesome. It's on, you know, weight room walls, you know, inspiring posters, whatever. Paul isn't saying that I can accomplish anything that I can imagine, right? He's saying whatever circumstances God allows me to face, Christ will give me the strength to endure them faithfully. To endure them faithfully. It's not saying that whatever I, you know, whatever I'm trying to do, whether that's, you know, God's will or my will, doesn't matter, right? Whatever it is, he is going to give me the strength to do it, to accomplish it, whatever. No, what he's actually saying, whatever circumstances God allows me to face will give me the strength to endure whatever it is faithfully. Whatever it is, faithfully. And if we really read, you know, I always say read the 10 verses before and the 10 verses after a particular passage to get the context, to understand the context. So if you read around, we're not going to read around, but I did read around. This is what we're talking about. Paul's talking about knowing how to have little and knowing how to have a lot. He knows hunger and abundance and the need and provision. His confidence isn't in himself. His confidence is in Jesus. So, you know, if we look at it from that context, he's relying on everything on Jesus, right? It's not on his own strength, his own ability, his own knowledge, none of that stuff. It's all about and always is about Jesus. The verse doesn't say I can do all things because I'm strong. It says I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The source of strength still matters, right? The source of strength still matters. The branch, us, needs the vine, Jesus. And where Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians 12, this becomes really powerful. Let's take a look at verse 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul pleaded with God to remove what he called a thorn in the flesh. What happened? God didn't remove it, right? Nope. Instead, God told Paul that his grace was sufficient. His grace was sufficient. His power was perfected in weakness. And really, that sounds pretty backward in our culture, right? We like to hide weakness. God says he can work through it. You might be embarrassed by weakness, right? There's a lot of things, you know, culture will tell us a whole lot of different things about whatever. And just know that that is not the voice of God, right? That is the enemy telling you. That is sometimes even your own voice telling you. But you will know unquestionably when it's God's voice speaking to you. Paul eventually reached the point where he can say that when he is weak, he is strong. And why is that? It's because weakness forces us to depend on Christ. Weakness forces us to depend on Christ. So picture a five-year-old trying to carry an enormous bag of groceries into the house. Right? We've all probably been there. I mean, I know us guys, we like to make one trip back to the house with the groceries, right? So we have 47 bags of groceries in our hand, right? Kid's struggling, the dad says, let me help you. Or the husband's wife says, let me help you. They say, no, I got it. No big deal. Too easy. I got it. Meanwhile, you know, your hand's starting to turn purple because it's no longer getting blood flow. Right, because you get all the stuff. Bag might be dragging on the pavement. The bread's starting to get crushed. Maybe the fruit starts rolling down the driveway because the bag rips open. And the kid keeps yelling to his dad, I got it. Don't worry, I'm good. And then the dad finally goes and he picks up the bag and he carries the bag and into the house as his kid walks beside him. Right, nothing else is falling out. Nothing else is breaking or smushing or whatever. And sometimes that's us with God. Right, we'll be carrying a heavy load, and we just tell God, "Man, I got this. It's cool, man. I don't need it. I don't need your help. We're good. I'm strong enough. Don't worry about it." And then God says, "Let me carry this with you. Let me carry this with you." And then we'll say again, "No, I'm fine. I'm good." And then again, God just comes and he picks up the bag and he lightens the load that we're carrying. You know, as we're continuing to kind of Heisman God away from us because we've got this, you know, all of our, you know, emotional groceries are like rolling down the driveway or, you know, down the street or whatever. We just have to let him in. Sometimes confuse independence with maturity, right? But spiritual maturity actually produces deeper dependence on God. A mature Christian doesn't say, "I don't need God as much anymore." They would say, "I need him for everything. I need him for everything." Now, some might ask, if God helps us because we're helpless, does that mean that we just sit around and do nothing? Nope, it does not. Go back to Ephesians 2, right? After telling us that salvation is not from works, Paul immediately then says in verse 10 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we do not work for salvation, we work from salvation. That's in your notes. We do not work for salvation, we work from salvation. Grace does not eliminate effort. Grace changes the reason for our effort. See what it's doing? We have this relationship. You know, our reason before Jesus is going to be a whole lot different than our reason after we've accepted Christ, right? And he is the reason for our effort. We pray because God's at work. We serve because God saved us. We forgive because Christ forgave us. We resist temptation because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We share the gospel because Jesus commanded us to, just like Carol did. We give because everything already belongs to him. We obey because we obey from a place of dependence. Right? Because we depend on him. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So he acknowledges that he worked hard, but immediately credited God. Immediately credited him. Right? Yeah, I put in some hours, but not because of anything I did, but because of everything that he did. So there's a balance. Paul worked, but grace empowered his work. That's Christianity. It's not passive laziness, not arrogant self-sufficiency. It is dependent obedience. Dependent obedience. And a lot of times, some of us are just tired. We're exhausted. And I would argue that a lot of the times it's because we're trying to be the vine instead of the branches. We're trying to be the source of life for everything instead of being the branch who receives their source of life from the source of life. We try to fix everyone, control everything, carry everybody's burdens. We try to do all of these things, and it's just so challenging. And then we wonder why we're tired. Spoiler alert, Jesus already has that job. We don't need to do it. Our responsibility is to remain in him. To remain in him. And Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Notice again who is helping here. Jesus. Jesus is doing the helping. Maybe you're tired of holding everything together. Maybe your family situation seems impossible. Maybe there's so much going on in your life. Maybe it's just everything's just way too heavier than you ever expected it to be. Maybe you're trying to desperately to become good enough for God. I would argue we've all probably been there a time or two in our life. But I want you to hear the gospel today. You don't have to save yourself. In fact, you can't save yourself. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. So Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him. He is the vine. So what does remaining in Jesus look like? It's not mysterious. It's not rocket surgery. Right? It's not. It means cultivating an ongoing relationship of trust, of obedience, prayer, scripture, worship, all the things that we do as followers of Jesus. That's what it means. Surrender. Meaning waking up every single day and saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. We start our day like that. Then we won't get caught up, hopefully, in the craziness, the chaos that happens throughout the day, where we might think that we've got this. But if we start our day with an acknowledgement that we need Jesus, excuse me, our day will be so much better. It means opening scripture, not just to gather information, but to actually hear and listen for the living God. Listen. It means praying before crisis, right? I mean, what is prayer? It's just communication with God, right? It's just talking to your dad, right? That's what it is. It means obeying when Jesus speaks, trusting him, even when we might not understand exactly what he's calling us to do. The goal of Christianity isn't becoming so strong that someday you no longer need Jesus. The goal of Christianity is to become so deeply connected to Jesus that his life increasingly becomes visible through yours. Right? And I've said this a different way that's slightly more confusing, but we want to live our life as Jesus would live our life if Jesus were us. Right? We want everybody who sees us or hears us to see Jesus. Right? I don't want people to see Jeremy. I want people to see Jesus, not suggesting that I am Jesus, but I want Jesus to shine through me, through everything that I say, everything that I do, my actions, how I treat people, whatever it is. I want people to see Jesus, not me. Galatians 5:22-23 explains the fruit that all of this produces, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. So it's not the fruit of trying harder or type of religious guilt or anything like that, self-help. The fruit of the Spirit, it's fruit that grows from connection, right? Connection to what? The vine. So when someone says God helps those who helps themselves, remember what Scripture teaches. Remember what it teaches. God helps people who realize they They need him, right? We all need him. You might, I don't know, maybe you're in a place right now where you think you've got everything figured out, but I promise you, you need him. You need him. Gospel isn't try harder and maybe God will help, right? No, that's not it at all. The gospel is you could never reach God, so he came to you. He came to you. Jesus lived the life that we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserve to die. He rose from the grave, defeating sin and death, and now offers salvation. It's a gift of grace to everybody, to every single person. So, this is your, I don't know if you need, you know, some sort of encouragement or, you know, permission. You don't need to pretend to have it all together, right? You don't need to pretend like everything's hunky-dory, everything's great, you got no problems at all. Stop pretending. We've said it before, I'll say it 1,000 times again. He knows everything anyways. So why are we pretending? Why are we pretending like things are we don't have any problems or struggles or whatever? Because he already knows. He already knows everything. Recognize that you, just like me, desperately need him. Desperately need him. There's a reason that lifeguards, which Genevieve is a lifeguard, are trained to be cautious when rescuing a person who's drowning. A panicked swimmer will often fight rescuers. They'll grab, they'll thrash, they struggle. They might even pull the rescuer underwater. The person has to reach the point where they allow themselves to be rescued, and that is a picture of grace. So some of us might be just thrashing around saying that I can save myself. And Jesus is saying, trust me. Trust me. Who might say, I can fix myself? Jesus says, what? Trust me. I can control this. Jesus says, trust me. And my favorite, I can handle everything. No problem. Jesus says, nah, trust me. Trust me. The gospel begins when we finally stop trying to rescue ourselves and place our confidence in the one who came to rescue us. So Jesus never said, God helps those who help themselves. Instead, he said, you can do absolutely nothing without me. You can do nothing without me. And honestly, that's pretty wonderful news, right? We can finally stop trying to rely on ourselves and our own abilities and instead rely on the source of life. You don't have to earn grace. You receive it. You don't have to pretend you're strong. You need to bring him into your weakness. You don't have to save yourself. Trust the one who already came to save you. So maybe there's a prayer we need this week. It's not, God, make me strong enough that I don't need help. Instead, it should be maybe, Jesus, teach me how much I need you. Teach me how much I need you. The branch was never designed to live independently of the vine. And neither were we. Neither were we. Remain in him, depend on him, and trust him. And watch that God produces so much fruit that we can finally understand through this relationship. And recognize, please, before you leave today, understand, acknowledge, and recognize that we can do nothing without him. Let's pray. Gracious God, forgive us for the times that we've trusted our own strength, more than your grace. God, thank you that you didn't wait for us to fix ourselves before you loved us, before you pursued us and sent your son Jesus to save us. God, teach us to remain in Jesus every day, to bring you our weaknesses instead of hiding them, and to trust that your grace is unquestionably sufficient. God, I pray that our lives bear fruit, not because we are strong enough on our own, but because we remain connected to Jesus, our true vine. And it is in his name, your son Jesus, that we pray. Amen and amen.